This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church, the DeSoto County campus, the fun church in Horn Lake, Mississippi. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.
Morning. I would like to begin with a story and tell you about a time when I heard God's voice. I heard God's voice telling me to come to Passion Church. I was working at a drugstore and Tom's son, Daniel Gulick, walked in and he was looking to buy Tom a phone. And he started trying to witness to me, and I started trying to witness to him at the same time. We both, I don't know if you've seen Daniel, but I look pretty rough, and so we're two rough-looking guys trying to share the gospel with each other. And he ends up inviting me to Passion Church's Tuesday night prayer, and I end up inviting him to the church that I was at. They were having a Friday and a Saturday event, and so he was a member at Passion Church, and he came to that church's event, and I was a member at my church, and I came to Passion Church Tuesday night prayer. And then me and my mom kept coming to Passion Church's Tuesday night prayer every week, and that was over 8.5 years ago, and it's been over 8 years since we made the official transition, and we've been coming here every Sunday ever since, serving every day. And I asked my dad, because it was time for me to leave that church and join Passion Church, I said, "Dad, how do you know when it's time to leave a church?" And he said, "Nick, well, this church over here is doing X, Y, and Z, and God calls you to do this, that, and the third, and if they're doing this, that, and the third over here, then you need to leave X, Y, and Z and do this, that, and the third." And I was somehow smart enough to follow all that, so I said, "Okay, Dad," and we transitioned and made Passion Church our official church home. And one day I was here early before the service started, and I was talking to Kirsty, and Kirsty shared with me, she said, "Nick, when God tells you to do something, you don't stop doing it until he tells you to stop." All right? So if God tells you to share the gospel, you don't stop sharing the gospel until he tells you to stop. If God tells you to help somebody, you don't stop helping them until God tells you to stop. Whatever God tells you to do, you keep doing it until he tells you to stop. Because a lot, we can get caught up in thinking, "Oh, I heard God tell me to do something," and we start doing it, then we start doing something else. Don't change, don't stop until God tells you something else. So today, that's what I want to talk about, is hearing God's voice. Well, I want to start with the most obvious. How do we hear God's voice? Through the scripture. Through the word of God. God gives us words and commands in the Bible. And we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says this: "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." See, all of the Holy Scriptures, all 66 books of the Christian canon are inspired by God. The Holy Spirit moved upon all of the men that contributed to writing the Bible and showed them what to write and how to write it so God could communicate to you and me. The Word of God is alive and is teaching us how to live. So when you're first asking, "Man, I've never just heard like the voice of God," start by reading your Bible. Read your Bible every day, and you are going to start hearing God's voice. And then you say, "Well, okay, but there's so many different things happening in the Bible. How do I know what I'm really supposed to do?" Well, simple. We can start off with two normal things. What does the Word of God say we should do? And what does the Word of God say we should not do? Well, I'll give us two examples. In James 1:27, we see some things that God says to do. It says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Okay? So God has given us some imperatives, some commands that we are supposed to follow. Okay? We are supposed to care for the disenfranchised, those that aren't as good off as us. We are supposed to love them and minister to them with our time, with our resources, with our word, and with our love. So we are supposed to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and we are not supposed to be corrupted by the world. So those are things that we're supposed to do. There's also things that we're not supposed to do. If you flip over to James chapter 3, verse 14 and 16, we see a couple things that we are not supposed to do. It reads, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. So, we're not supposed to be jealous. We're not supposed to be jealous of one another. We're not supposed to covet what each other have. And we're not supposed to have selfish ambition, trying to get ahead for our own sake and not get the things that God wants us to receive in his timing and his way. And instead, we try to do it in our timing and in our way. So what's the first way to begin hearing from God? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Is the living word, and God is speaking to you when you read it. Matter of fact, when you read it, I want you to pray like this. Say, God, when I read your word, please speak to me. Show me something today that will help me in my life, or that I can share with somebody else and help them in their life, or that will prepare me for something that is taking place tomorrow. So read your word, and you're going to start hearing from God. I didn't just hear from God to come to Passion Church. I also heard God's voice to tell me where I should go work. One of my current places of employment before I graduated college, God told me to go to this job and tell people about Jesus. He said, go to this job. It's not a Christian organization. It's not a ministry. He said, go to this job and tell people about Jesus. So I show up to this job, and I walk straight into the boss's office without permission, and I say, hey, I just want to introduce myself. I said, I'd like to come work for you. And he told me to have a seat. This guy, he had hundreds of employees. He said, come on in, talk to me, tell me about yourself. And I told him a little bit about myself. I didn't think I was talking about Jesus. I was trying to talk about the job and make my resume look good. And he looks at me, he said, that's a great testimony. And so I have a few different jobs, but that's how God showed me to get to one of my current jobs. And guess what I did? I went in there, and I started telling all the people about Jesus. Not only did I start telling the other people about Jesus, I started telling the other people how to tell the other people about Jesus, okay? So when God shows you to do something, you go do it. I heard God's voice, and now you're still saying, hey, this sounds a little weird. How are you hearing God's voice to say, come to Passion Church? How are you hearing God's voice to say, go take this job? Well, we're going to look at an example in the Word, and we're going to find out together. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel, before we jump into our main text, that there was this man. This man was named Elkanah, and he had these two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah had all these kids, and life was going great for her, and Hannah didn't have any kids, and things were looking kind of rough. She was barren. And she's praying for a son and all these things. She's always sad. And she prayed to God to give her a son. And God ends up allowing her to get pregnant. And she gets pregnant with a boy named Samuel. And they dedicate this boy to live for God. Matter of fact, they just give him away to God. They let this boy live in the temple with the priest. And they leave him there. And Samuel grows up in the temple, serving God and serving under Eli, the priest. And now we're going to read this story together. We're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's pray, church. Jesus, I thank you that when we read your word right now, that we would receive from you, that we would hear from you what you want us to hear. Thank you for taking the time this morning to speak to us, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn, if you're not already, to 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And it reads as follows. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel!" "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel!" Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I've warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever, because his sons are blaspheming God, and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord has said to him. But Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. Verse 1, "And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel." So we see here the example of the young boy Samuel, the prophet, hearing the voice of God for the first time. I'll share another story with you. In the year 2020, when the whole country began to have all these limitations and things got shut down and some people weren't even able to go to work, I was one of those people. I was unable to go to work. I said, "God, what do you want me to do with this time? I'm working from home now. What am I supposed to do sitting at the house all day?" And I was only less than a year out of college, and God told me, "Go back to college. Go for your next degree." And I said, "Okay, where should I go to college?" And so I start looking through a magazine of these 20 different colleges, and wouldn't you know it, the one that one of my wise, godly mentors told me to go to, that had the most flexible schedule so I could still minister and work, and was the cheapest tuition, is the one that I ended up going to. I looked at all the other places, but the place where I was hearing from God that it was clear this was the direction God wanted me to go is the one I ended up going to. Now look, it's not always that clear. Sometimes we're like Samuel and we have to hear it a few different times. But I've shared with you already three different times I've heard from God. But let's break it down and really talk about how does this happen. Well, we see, and I'm going to go quick through this so you can write it down, but we're not going to look up the scriptures. In chapter 1, verse 28 of 1 Samuel, Samuel belonged to the Lord his whole life. In 2:18, Samuel's been serving the Lord for a long time. In 2:21, Samuel's been in the presence of the Lord. And in 2:26, Samuel grew in favor with the Lord. So Samuel's been consistently serving the Lord for a long period of time before he ever heard God's voice. He belonged to the Lord, he was serving the Lord, he was in the presence of the Lord, and he was growing in the Lord's favor for years before God started speaking to him in the middle of the night. So how do we hear from God? We need to dwell in his presence. We need to abide in him. We need to live in him and with him and spend time with God before we hear from him. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" So, how do we hear God's voice? We need to be still, be quiet, and listen. And see, some of us are like Samuel. The only time we have stillness and quiet in our life is when we're sleeping. So I do pray that everyone in here would receive dreams and visions and hear from God in the middle of the night. But I also pray that we would be still and be quiet and listen in the middle of the day. That we wouldn't be in such a hurry. That we wouldn't be listening to all the other voices in our lives, but that we would take time to be quiet and hear from God. So how do you hear God's voice? You have to be quiet. You have to listen. You can't drown out his voice in all the other voices. Now, listening doesn't always mean asking a question and getting the answer right away. We have to have patience and continue to listen. Samuel didn't recognize that it was God talking to him the first few times. We see in verses 8 through 9. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So how do we hear God's voice? Well, I already mentioned it when I told you guys I went back to college. We need wise mentors in our lives that are going to point us in the right direction, and they will recognize if it's God's voice and God's will in your life. Eli is the one that knew God was talking to Samuel. Samuel did not know it himself until his mentor told him. So you need godly men and women in your life that have been serving God a lot longer than you to help show you when you are hearing God's voice. It says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, familiar verse. Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. So I want to tell you guys that before I joined Passion Church, before I started working at my new job, before I went back to college, I asked a lot of people that I trusted that were mature Christians, what should I do? I said, is this from God? Is this an open door? Is this just something that I want to do selfishly that seems good? Or is this God's will for my life? I asked my pastors, my spiritual leaders, my close friends, my parents, my family members, what should I do in all three of these instances that I've already shared with you guys? My church, my job, my school. And the wise mentors in your life will recognize God's voice and tell you what you should be doing. And speaking of wise mentors in my life, I'd like to just honor Pastor Guy and Pastor Angie. The first time I told you guys about the story about how I came to the church, well, now I'm going to tell you the first time I ever preached in the church. The first time I ever preached, Bill McCall was the youth pastor, and me and Angie were back there with Bill and the teenagers in the youth room on a Wednesday night. And Angie sat there and recorded me preaching on the voice memo of her phone, just sat the phone down on the table, and I preached to the teenagers. And then we used to have Next Level Wednesday before we did life groups, and Pastor Guy had me preach on a Wednesday night. And then we preached at the jail on Sunday nights, and then Pastor Guy had me preach my first sermon on a Sunday morning. So Pastor Guy recognized God's voice speaking to my life, God's calling and anointing on my life, as did my parents, Greg and Donna, and my sister, Sarah, and my girlfriend, Raven. And so I just want to pay honor to all of those people and everybody else. Everybody else in the church that I didn't mention by name, I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate everybody for helping me recognize God's voice in my own life. But it's not just enough that we hear God's voice and we recognize it, and our mentors and our spiritual leaders tell us about it. We see in verse 10 that we also have to do something with it. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel replied, "Speak. Your servant is listening." So it's not just enough to listen to God's voice. You have to also respond to God's voice. It is important not only that you're hearing from God, but that you are doing something with what you are hearing. And then we find out in verses 12 through 14 that Samuel is faithful to carry out the message that God gave him. And it says in verses 12 through 14, "I'm going to carry out," this is Samuel, this is what the Lord is saying to Samuel, right? "I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I've warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." So Samuel, then we find out in the next few verses, is faithful to deliver that message to Eli, but this isn't the first time Eli is hearing this. What is God talking about that I'm going to carry out the things that I already said? Well, when we look back in chapter 2, verses 31 and 34, skipping through those, it says this in 31, "The time is coming when I will put an end to your family, so will no longer serve as my priests. All the members of your family will die before their time. None will reach old age." This is a different prophet speaking to Eli. And you might say, man, that sounds pretty harsh. But what was happening is Eli's two sons are not only stealing the offerings from God's people when they present them at the temple, they're also sleeping around with the young ladies in the temple. Eli already corrected them and told them to stop, and they didn't listen, and then Eli just didn't do anything. He let it keep happening. He told his son, stop, you're not living righteous, don't do that. And then his sons didn't listen, and it kept happening. So that was the first part of the prophecy, the warning against Eli's family. And then we look down in verse 34 of chapter 2, it reads, "And to prove that what I have said will come true, I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to die on the same day." So this is the message that another prophet had already shared with Eli, and then God said it to Samuel, and then Samuel shared it with Eli. And I want you guys to know that God's voice is always right, and that God's word always comes true. And we see this example carried out in chapter 4, verse 11, and then 18 through 20. Verse 11 says this, "The ark of God was captured, and Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were killed." So what happened after Samuel shared this word with Eli is the Philistines got in a battle with Israel. And Eli's two sons were killed, just like God already used two different prophets to share with Eli. And then when you go down to verses 18 through 20, it carries out the rest of the prophecy. It says, when the messenger mentioned what had happened to the ark of God, Eli fell backward from his seat beside the gate. He broke his neck and died, for he was old and overweight. He had been Israel's judge for 40 years. Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near her time of delivery. When she heard that the ark of God had been captured, that her father-in-law and husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth. She died in childbirth, but before she passed away, the midwives tried to encourage her. Don't be afraid, they said. You have a baby boy. But she did not answer or pay attention to them. So God spoke through two different prophets. Eli heard God's voice through two other people speaking for God. And everything that God spoke through the mouths of the prophets to Eli were fulfilled. His entire family died, and they no longer served as priests for Israel. So God's voice is always right, and God's word comes true. Even if it seems impossible, even if it seems like it's been delayed and it will never happen, God does not change and God does not lie. What he said is going to take place is going to take place. But sometimes it seems like it changes, and normally that means we or another human changed, or we or another human got it wrong. Because there have been times in my life where I thought I heard God's voice on something, and it did not happen. And total opposite might have happened. And I realized, I said, God, I don't doubt you for one second. I know you're true. I know I'm your sheep. I know I hear your voice. But I think I might have got that one wrong, or I think something else happened that you didn't even tell me about, God. But I still trust you, and I still know that you are true. I still know that you are going to point me in the right direction, and I still know that you have the best intention for me. So when I'm trying to hear God's voice through prayer, I'm asking myself, is it something I'm thinking or getting through prayer that I don't want to do but is the right thing? That's normally God. If it's the right thing but my flesh doesn't want to do it, it's probably me hearing God's voice and him telling me to do something. If God tells me to give my car away to somebody, I don't want to do that. Because that's my only car. I don't have money for another car. But I know it's the right thing to do if I believe it's God's voice and he's confirming it, keeps speaking it to my spirit. I know it's what he's telling me to do. So I have to walk out on faith and do it. And so I'm using an extreme example for you, but it applies to every aspect of your life. Now, that's the easy one. The easy one is if you don't want to do it and you believe God's telling you to do it, that's God's voice. The hard one is if you want to do it, and you think God's telling you to do it, because now you have to discern and figure out, hey, am I doing the right thing for my own selfish reasons? Is this what I want to happen and also what God wants to happen? Oftentimes it can be, but you have to pray and seek God and determine and ask the people around you, ask your wise mentors and read the scriptures and find out, is this actually God's goal for my life? Now, if it's something that you know is wrong and you don't want to do, well, hopefully we never do that. And if it's something that you know is wrong and you do want to do, well, you know that's not from God. Because you know his scripture is what he tells you to do and what he tells you not to do. So hearing God's voice, those are four different ways that that can help you out. See, Samuel did not want to deliver this message. We see in verse 15 of chapter 3. Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. Samuel was afraid to carry God's message. It was the right thing to do, but he did not want to do it. But what did he do? He did it in love. He wasn't excited or eager to bring this bad news and hurt Eli, his friend, his boss, the guy raising him, teaching him how to serve the Lord. He didn't want to do that, but he knew that God told him to do it. So he didn't push it in Eli's face and say, oh yeah, I got a word from God and you didn't, and I'm going to be a new prophet and you're not going to be the priest. No, he didn't do any of that. He was humble and gentle and had the fear and trembling of the Lord and shared the word that he was supposed to share. And then we read verse 17. What did the Lord say to you? Eli asked. Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. See, hearing God's voice is a huge responsibility, because you have to listen to God and be obedient and do what he tells you to do. See, Eli was also a man of God, and he prayed that prayer. So if Samuel kept something from him, I don't know. God might have struck him dead right there. He did it later on when two people lied about something they did with their money, giving it to the church, and they fell dead right there. So we have to be obedient and hear God's voice and not lie about it. We have to be truthful. Verse 18 reads, so Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks is best. See, we won't hear God's voice until we listen to what he has already told us. Until you listen to the things God has already given to you, and it may be as simple as some imperatives, some direct commands in the Word of God of what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do, then he is not going to show you something else that you are asking about. For example, if you're trying to lose weight, there might be a couple things that are going into that, right? You might need to eat healthy. You might need to exercise more. But what if the first step is something you're not even expecting? What if God's first step is stop spending all day on social media and watching TV? And you're like, that doesn't make sense. Why would God want me to do that to stop losing weight? Well, every time you sit at home all day on social media, you're doing nothing but eating junk food and sitting on the couch. But if you don't listen to that first thing that God chose you to do, you're not going to do the other things. So it may not make sense in our normal minds, but whatever God shows us to do, we have to do, and we have to be faithful in the small before he trusts us with the larger things. You see, if Samuel didn't faithfully pass the message on to Eli, like we just read in 3:18, and every time after that, look, he keeps doing it. He keeps being faithful and passing on these messages. Guys, let's read 19 through 4:1. It says, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel. So there we see it keeps happening over and over and over and again. The first time Samuel heard the Lord, he delivered the message to Eli. And then it kept happening. Everyone starts knowing, hey, when Samuel's speaking, he's speaking from God. He's hearing directly from God. He's talking to the people as a prophet from God, that Samuel was trusted in the small. See, God could not have trusted him to do bigger things later in life if he wasn't doing these smaller things. Well, what did Samuel go on to do? He went on to anoint the next two kings of Israel. In chapter 10, Samuel anoints Saul. In chapter 16, Samuel anoints David, the next two kings. Samuel anoints them, and it started off with him laying in his bed at night, just like every single one of us in this room do. God spoke to him, and he listened to God. He heard his voice and carried out the message that God gave him to carry. If he didn't listen to God's voice with smaller things, he would have never been given those great tasks. In Jeremiah chapter 35, you can write in your notes, we're not going to turn there. But in that chapter, we see that there's this group of people that their ancestors told them to do something. They gave them this whole list of commands to live right for God, to not live in certain types of houses, to not drink certain things, to not eat certain things, to not act a certain way. And these people for generations were obedient to this one word, this one time that this one man heard from God and passed it on to the people, and they kept doing it. But then God's very own people, God appeared to them time and time and again and told them the same thing, and they refused to do it. So it's our responsibility when we hear God to listen to him and be like Kirsty and keep doing what God tells you to do until he tells you to stop doing it. And God will never tell you to stop doing the right thing. He will never tell you to stop doing something that is according to his word. But when we're getting into the nuances of hearing God's voice for specific things in our life, God will do that. I want to turn to our last book of the Bible that we're going to be in today, which is John chapter 10 and John chapter 9, in that order. And we see, and I'll start by saying some of this teaching in the last part of John and the last part of John 10 and John 9, I received from a teaching from Preston Perry, so this isn't all my own original work. It says in John 10, 26 through 28, "But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me." So we see here in verse 27 that you are already God's sheep before you hear him. You are already God's sheep before you know him. You are already God's sheep before you follow him. Christianity is, you don't have to earn your relationship with Christ. He freely hands it to you. So you're already his before you hear him, know him, and follow him. You are his before you do these three things. We see that because it says my sheep, and then it says the three things that they do. It doesn't say you have to do these three things to become his sheep. So we may already be his sheep, but we may not be listening to his voice. We may not be following him perfectly, but he is inviting us to begin doing these things today and every day for the rest of our lives. And then coinciding with this, we see in John chapter 9, in the first five verses, we see that there is a man born blind, and the disciples asked Jesus, hey, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his sins or because of his parents' sins? And Jesus said, neither. It's so that my power can be displayed in his life. He said, when you're here on this earth, we have a limited time. Go out and do the work that you are supposed to do. And while I am here, I am the light of the world. Then Jesus spits in some dirt, makes some mud, puts it on the man's eyes, prays for the man's eyes to be healed. This man that was born blind now miraculously has vision and sight and is able to see. And Jesus tells him to go wash off in the pool. And he goes and he washes off. And then all of his neighbors, all the people in town that know him, they're like, this looks just like that guy that was born blind. Nobody can believe that it's actually him because his life has been transformed by Christ. And so we're seeing how this physical blindness is relating to this spiritual blindness. And all the teachers of the religious law, they're mad. They're like, who healed you? He's like, yeah, this guy Jesus, he healed me. And they're getting mad at him because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They themselves are spiritually blind. And then we look in verses 35 through 39 of John chapter 9, and it says this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Verse 40, some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. And so we see in verse 35, Jesus is asking the man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And then in 36, the man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe him. So the man heard Jesus speaking to him, and he had a respect for Jesus. He called him sir, just like a lot of people I know. A lot of people have a respect for God and a respect for religion, and they call Jesus sir. And then in verse 37, Jesus said, you have seen him, and he is speaking to you. And in verse 38, this man says, yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. So this man went from a place where he heard Jesus and he had a respect for Jesus to a place where he knew Jesus, he believed Jesus, and he worshiped Jesus and called him Lord. So all of us have a decision to make today. Hey, do we know Jesus? Do we believe him? Is he the Lord of our life? Are we going to worship him with everything that we have? Or do we just have a respect for God? Do we have a respect for church? When our friends and our coworkers and random strangers in public bring it up, do we say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, that's my church. I got baptized. I believe that. Or do we just have a respect for it? Or has it really changed our entire life? Do we believe everything we read? Because if we believe everything we read in the Word of God, we're going to live it out every single day. We are going to know God. We are going to worship him. We're going to call him the Lord of our life. We are going to listen to his voice and for his voice. So my question to you today, my first of two questions is, if you are a believer, you say, hey, it might have been a day, a week, a month, or a year, I might feel like I've never heard God's voice. So yeah, I pray and I read my Bible, I come to church, but I don't feel like I've been hearing God's voice lately. Maybe I heard God's voice last week and I just want to hear God's voice again today. If you say, hey, I want to hear God's voice on something, I want God to speak to me right now, go ahead and raise your hand. You say, hey, I want to hear from God. The pastor's hand is in the air. This pastor guy hears from God all the time, but we all need to hear more from God. Thank you for raising your hands. See, I'm not going to ask anybody in here to raise their hand if a Christian is not willing to raise their hand. So now my next question is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus? Is there anybody in here that says, hey, I haven't been believing Jesus. He's not the Lord of my life. I haven't been worshiping him. I haven't been listening to him. Is there somebody that says, hey, I'm not a Christian. I have had a respect for Christianity. I might have even told people I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living for Jesus. Is there anybody in here that would raise their hand and say, hey, I'm not saved. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I don't know that I am following Jesus. So I do have a relationship with him. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand for me. That being the case, I'm going to take it by faith that everybody in here is either already living for Jesus or they're just not ready yet, and that's okay. See, God has given us some very straightforward things that we don't need to interpret. We looked at the two examples from James today, right? There's other things that we all know are the right thing, and we don't need to divinely hear from God. We know we need to go to church, read our Bible, pray, do good deeds, love God, love our neighbor, love ourselves, do all of this. So we don't need to hear a word from God on that. Okay, so we're all Christians. We're already doing these things. But now how do we hear God's voice in the things that aren't explicitly in the Bible? Like, why did we just raise our hand 2 minutes ago saying, yeah, I mean, there's serious things going on. There's big life decisions like your job, your career, medical situations, family situations, serious things happening in your life. And how are we going to hear God's voice for that? Well, let's recap shortly. We need to fully give ourselves to God in all moments. If we're distracted listening to everybody else, we're not going to be ready to receive and hear from God. We need to belong to God, serve God, be in God's presence, and grow in God's favor. We need to read our Bible. This is the baseline for hearing from God. Is there anything that God shows us in the scriptures to do? Is there anything that God shows us in the scriptures not to do when we read the books of the Bible in context? We need to pray. We need to be quiet before God. What do you think God is divinely placing in your minds? I told you three situations, how God divinely placed information inside of my brain telling me, go to Passion Church, go to this job, go to that college. And I listened to him. Now, I made him tell me a lot of times. He only called on Samuel 3 times before he listened the 4th time. I asked God over and over and over, and that's okay, because we see those same examples in the Bible. I believe it's Gideon. He said, God, make this wet and make everything else dry, and I'll believe it's you, and God did it. And then he said, make this dry and make everything else wet, and I'll believe it's you, and then God did it. So it's okay to ask God more than once to be sure and seek some confirmation. That's not doubt. God is not afraid of your questions or of your doubt or about the hard things you're going through and that you're praying to him about and saying, hey, this is a really terrible situation. I need help. God is not scared of any of that. He wants you to come with him and be real about these hard things going on in your life. And he wants to speak to these situations. So what else? We need to have wise people around us like Eli recognizing and telling Samuel that that is God's voice that he is hearing. We need to have godly people around us that are wise and that also read the Bible and also pray and also go to church for them to tell us, hey, yes, this sounds like God's will. This sounds like God's voice in your life. And before we come forward and pray together, I'll share one more story with you. But I'm not Pastor Guy, so I'm not going to finish one of the first stories. I told you about how I heard from God to go to Passion Church. I heard from God to go to a job. I heard from God to go to a college. Well, I also heard from God who I was supposed to marry. And that's this lovely young lady right here, Raven. Give it up for Raven. And I'm sharing this with you because you're like, man, yay, there is over 7 billion people in the world. How am I supposed to, you know, and most people in here are already married and done all that, so I won't spend too much time on that. But God cares about these things. And when you continue to pray, I will tell you that I've gotten multiple words of God, words from God in my prayer time, and I wrote them down in quotations in my notes. I'm not going to share them with you here today because I haven't even shared all of them with her yet. But God has showed me things on why I'm supposed to marry this woman and confirming that. And he's also done that through the wise people in my life, in my family, and my mentors. They have confirmed, yes, Raven is a godly woman, and she loves the Lord, and she loves you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it and that it inspires you to live out God's word. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.